Well, the thing is, the blessing's wonderful, but we can't fully appreciate and thank God for the blessing until we know the God who gives the blessing a little better. And so the more we know him, the more we can rejoice in that, right? So we need a God moment. You see in your bulletin, you see, in the welcome, may God give us a close encounter of the first kind today, a fresh experience of him, a God moment. May we say with Jacob, God is in this place. How awesome is this place? And then we can leave here more like the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. But not just here, when we're home, when we're at work, when we're in our neighborhood, when we wake up, when we lie down, amen? We need to experience God's presence. And so today I'd like to shift gears a little bit with you. I'd like you to turn to the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament, chapter 1, and then we're going to look for a moment also in the Old Testament at Isaiah chapter 50. We're going to have a major change of pace today. If you've been with us for the last few weeks, you know that we've been looking very intensely biblically and in our culture at the issue of abuse. We specifically looked at sexual abuse. And we looked at the story of David and Bathsheba and how that horrific situation resulted in the need for the people who were abused to find grace, and also for David himself, the abuser, to find grace. And it was pretty heavy duty. We ended with it on Father's Day, intentionally, not the normal Father's Day fare, but of the Lord, I believe. And so today we're going to shift gears for the next 2 to 3 Sundays, Lord willing. And we're going to talk about the need for spiritual renewal. For Dave Epstein personally, for you personally, but more for the renewal of the church. And then, by God's grace, for the renewal of the nation as we enter the July 4th holidays. Amen? I just thought it was really of the Lord, and it was something we need to talk about a little bit. How we need to get closer to God, and in so doing, can actually have an impact on God being gracious to our nation. And God knows our nation needs grace. Amen? So, a question as we look at this message morning by morning. Why seek God first thing in the morning? Why? Why seek him before breakfast? Before emails? Text messages, before a phone call, news reports, coffee, although I asked the Lord and he said that last one could be optional. Perhaps we could be concurrent, contemporaneous. Why? Well, the best answer I can give you is because that's what Jesus did. We talk all the time, don't we, about being more like him. It's what he did. And he did it so he would have the relationship with God his Father that he needed. He'd have the spiritual strength that he needed to do what he was called to do all day long. And we also have a relationship with God to pursue. We also have people in our life who need us, who depend on us, who we're responsible to impact in a positive way. we also have a character that needs to develop, to mature, amen, to grow like Jesus himself. And we all have a purpose, like he did. We have a purpose. That purpose needs to be accomplished, needs to be fulfilled, amen? So there are a lot of reasons for this. A lot of reasons. So let's begin in Mark chapter 1 as we trust God in this for the next two or three Sundays. I want you to notice that Jesus had a friendship with God, his Father, to pursue. Jesus had people to help, and Jesus had a life purpose to fulfill as well. And that's why he got up early and he got started. You see, chapter 1 of Mark, verse 35, Mark tells us, "And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus departed and he went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him, they searched for him. And they found him and they said, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said, 'Let's go to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that's why I came. It's the purpose for which I came.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." The Lord tells us that one of the best ways to pray well, and perhaps the best way to pray well, is to pray early and to pray alone. It's you and him. You and God, right? Me and God. He said, "That's what I did." Very early, still dark, departed, desolate place, lonely place. And he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him, they searched for him. The Lord says, you know, people are always looking for the people who are praying. You ever find that to be true? You start praying more and getting closer to God, a lot more people are going to want to be with you. They're going to want to ask you to help, to pray. You're going to have a chance to touch their lives. People are looking for the people who are praying. My witness over many, many years, a lot of it is those times I have a chance to play golf sometimes when I'm on vacation or something, and I'll be with two or three guys playing golf that don't know the Lord, and we'll be getting to know each other, and we'll hear something about one of them. They'll share something, and I'll sometimes say right there, "Can I pray over you?" I don't think I've had two people in 40 years say no. Amen? People are looking for the people who are praying. Everyone's looking for you. And he said, "Let's go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that's why I came." He says, "I'm praying early because I got things to do. I got a mission to fulfill. I'm praying early because I'm too busy not to pray." He says, "I know it's counterintuitive. I know it sounds contradictory, but I'm too busy not to pray." Amen? He went through all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. Now, we have a friendship with God to cultivate, a relationship to grow and mature. We also have people to help, to be there for. We have a destiny as well. You and I and us. Amen? We have that intimacy with God the Father as well. Jesus says powerfully through Paul in Galatians 4, he says, you were slaves, but then I set you free. And when I set you free, he says in Galatians 4, you became sons and daughters, children of the covenant. And you became sons and daughters, no longer slaves. And now you cry out, Abba, Father. Amen? That's us. We're not slaves anymore. We're children of God. We cry out, amen, in our freedom, our liberty, our thanksgiving. Abba, Father. Amen. What a privilege. What a privilege. John chapter 10, when the religious leaders were attacking the Lord Jesus Christ, remember what he said? He said to them, you don't hear my voice and follow me because you don't belong to me. But my sheep, my people, they hear my voice. And they what? They follow me. And I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. No one shall snatch them out of the Father's hand. It's a two-fisted love, a two-fisted salvation, a two-fisted security. Nobody's taken them out of our hand. And Jesus says, I and the Father are one. We're echad. Amen? We're one. We have that Father. Amen? That reckless love, Father, I say reverently, who took a chance on me and on you. And all he wants is a relationship. And then to use you, to use me for his glory. All he wants is some time with us. Amen? Glory to God. My wife is a Facebook girl. I'm not that much, but she does some of that, yeah. I don't do it. I don't even know how to do it, actually. But every once in a while, there's something on her Facebook, and I get to see it. And there was a wonderful young lady in our church this week who had got up early, and she had been running, exercising, and in the midst of that, she was praying, and then she was in the Word. She was spending time in the Word, and on her Facebook, she said this. She said, a picture of her with her Bible and her coffee. She said, Bible, prayer, and coffee. A great start to the day. Feels good. I thought, yes. You just made the sermon. Amen. Feels good. You think it feels good to us? What do you think God's feeling? Amen? My wonderful sister Kathy has written a new book. It's called The Rock, The Road, and The Rabbi. It's all about Jesus and the land of Israel and the scriptures. And she and I have had many, many, many times of seeking God and sharing God in the Holy Land over the years. And this new book is really a powerful search for more of God and more of Israel and more of the scriptures and more of the experience of God. And it's really good. And I'm prejudiced, but it's still really good. And she talks about how rising early to meet with God morning by morning in the last few years has changed her life. It's changed her life as a believer. And so let me just read a bit of that to you if I could. in the introduction, she says, Lord, you want me to what? The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. She says, before I began my new job as co-host of the fourth hour of the Today Show in 2008, I felt the Lord tugging at my spirit with the words of Matthew 6:33. Kathy, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I remember responding, Lord, you know that's what I'm trying to do, put you and your kingdom first in my life. Then I felt him gently rebuke me. You're not listening. I said to seek me first. Lord, do you mean first thing in the morning before anything else? I questioned. In my heart, I sensed his clear answer. Yes. Wow. I already got up earlier than most, usually right before dawn. But with my new duties at Today, I would be leaving my home in Connecticut shortly after 6 a.m. for the hour-long commute to New York City. Really, Lord, before I go to work? Yes, I felt him tenderly remind me, as you begin your day, so goes your day. So I began to awaken before 4 a.m. and pray for an hour for my family, members, my friends, colleagues, world situations, personal concerns. Then I would open the scriptures and study God's word for an hour more with my puppies and the birds outside my window as my only company. This new discipline soon became the best part my favorite part of the day. I began to understand and cherish the scriptures that talk about the joy of seeking God in the morning. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I entrust my life. Psalm 143:8. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. Psalm 92:1-2. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 5:3. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. Psalm 63:1. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn and your vindication like the noonday sun. Psalm 37:6. The path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Proverbs 4:18. Through this process of getting up early every morning to study God's word, I have experienced the truth of my favorite Bible verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Where do we get everything we need in life? From the Lord our God. How does he strengthen us? With his word. Changing my morning routine has changed my life. I began not only to study the word, but to memorize as much as I could so that scripture would become a living, breathing part of me. No textbook needed, no study guide necessary, just the pure, life-giving, sustaining word of God settled deep in my soul. Wow. Glory to God. We have a relationship with God to pursue. We have people that need our witness and our life. Amen? We have a destiny as well. You know, the fact that Jesus would start his day very early seeking God was proclaimed 700 years before Mark chapter 1. In Isaiah 50, I want you to look at that for a moment. The fact that Jesus would start his day very early seeking God was prophesied 700 years before Jesus was born into the world. The prophet had already said the Messiah was coming, and here is what the Messiah would do. Look at Isaiah 50 for a moment. Verse 4. Quite powerful. Let me read that to you. Now, this is Isaiah the prophet speaking, but it's actually the Messiah who is coming. It is the Messiah speaking through Isaiah the prophet. So this is actually a first-person Messiah statement. And Isaiah is chronicling this, okay? So here's what the Messiah, who will come 700 years later in Jesus, is saying. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. You see that? The Messiah prophesies that when he comes, he's coming because he has people to disciple. He has people to teach. And he has people to be an example to. And he has people to love and care for and inspire. So that's why the Messiah says, I will spend time with my Father because I have people to impact when I come. Amen? Notice what else. Morning by morning, there we go. Morning by morning, that's the title of the message today. Morning by morning, he awakens. That is, God the Father awakens. He awakens my ear. God the Father wakes me up. He wakes me up to hear as those who are taught. That's the word in the Hebrew that we relate to the student, the learner, somebody who is a learner, a student, a disciple. God the Father awakens me, the Messiah says, because I also, the Messiah says, I need to grow as a disciple. Even as I am discipling others, I need to grow as a disciple. I need to mature as a believer. And we say, how does the Messiah need to mature? The Messiah, according to Old and New Testament, is God in the flesh. And the scripture says, don't be surprised. God took flesh. He became human. And even though the Messiah was always sinless, he still had to grow and mature as a human being, as a man, as a believer. And you say, well, Pastor Dave, explain that to me. And I say, that's above my pay grade. He had to grow even though he was sinless. Amen? That's what the scripture teaches. Verse 5, the Lord God has opened my ear and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, my cheeks to those who pull out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. The Messiah prophesies that when he comes, he's got a mission. His mission is to suffer. His mission is to be the Savior of the world, to suffer and forgive sins. Amen? It's a destiny to fulfill. It's all right there. morning by morning. But the Lord God helps me, you see, the relationship with the Father in the midst of people to help and encourage and a mission to fulfill and suffering to experience and the will of God to embrace and fulfill, I have a relationship with my Father. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been what? I've not been disgraced. I've honored him. Even those who hurt me couldn't disgrace me. Therefore I have, what does it say? Set my face like a flint. Set my face. Love the Father, know the Father, honor the Father, serve as the Messiah. Love people. Embrace God's will. Amen. And what's he say in verse 4? Morning by morning, he awakens me to listen as a disciple. He calls us to that. Morning by morning. I know that I shall not be put to shame. Turn over to Luke's gospel for a moment. See that phrase, I have set my face like a flint? You know where we find that fulfilled in the scriptures? Luke chapter 9. Look at verse 51. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, that is, to fulfill God's will for him, suffer and die on the cross, rise from the dead, be with God in heaven until the establishment of his kingdom when he comes again, when that day drew near, it says he what? He set his face to go to Jerusalem. You see that? That's the fulfillment of Isaiah 50, verse 7. That's the day in time and space and history that Jesus said, this is being fulfilled. I have now set my face like flint up to Jerusalem. All the years of seeking God, finding the strength. Amen? And you know, this started young. Look back at Luke 2 for a moment. Started young. Very young. Look at Luke 2, verse 41. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12, they went up according to custom, and when the feast was ended, they were returning to Jerusalem. The boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't know he stayed behind. That's scary. But supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. Then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. They couldn't find him. They returned to Jerusalem searching for him. 3 days they were looking for a missing child. The poignancy of that. Think about the time your child was missing. Think even today of parents and their children being separated. Think of it. Scary. 3 days later, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. That's always what we do. We love our kids so much. We think they're gone. We think they might be hurt. We find them. And the first thing we do is get mad at them. But that's because of love, right? Where have you done? Right? That's exactly what happened. Love, right? And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? I must be about my Father's business. I'm called to know the Father. They didn't understand the manner that he spoke, and He went down with them and came to Nazareth. He was submissive. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. You see, the growing up started young. He never sinned, but he grew up. He was discipled. He grew in wisdom. He grew intellectually. He grew in stature. He grew physically. He grew in favor with God. He grew spiritually. He grew in favor with men. He grew socially, relationally. And he needed all of that growth to fulfill his purpose as Messiah, never sinning. Glory to God. He grew as a child into a young man, and thank God for Shirley and Mike Velardo's ministry among us for all these years with our children. Amen. We as parents need significant others always to come around us to bless our children. Amen. Help them grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God and men. Thank God for that. Jesus grew this way. Look at the book of Hebrews as we begin to close here in the next 5 minutes or so. Look at Hebrews chapter 5 about how in his relationship with God the Father, he grew and matured. Hebrews 5 verse 7, in the days of his flesh, the days of his life and sojourn here on earth as God in the flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him, to God the Father, who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. He was a son, he was the son, but he had to learn obedience. He had to be discipled. And being made perfect, or being made perfectly mature is the idea. He's always sinless. This perfection has nothing to do with the sin. It's about maturity. Being made what? Perfectly mature. He became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. That's how he grew. Look at chapter 10 of Hebrews. Look at verse 7. Look at verse 5, I should say. Consequently, when the Messiah came into the world, he said to the Father, Father, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I've come to do your will, O God, as it's written of me in the scroll of the book. The relationship with the Father. Father, you prepared a body for me. I've come to do your will, O God. It's written of me in the what? In the scroll of the book. Read Isaiah chapter 50. Glory to God. We can't know God if we don't seek him. Amen? I remember Jeremiah's cry. In Jeremiah chapter 29, he cries, and then God responds, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. As Jeremiah would cry out for the people. And then by grace, the people would cry out in the midst of often their sin and their disobedience and their ungodliness. God says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Welfare and peace, not for evil, to give you. I want to give you a future. I want to give you a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me. You will find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, he said. Morning by morning. All our schedules are different. Our lifestyles are different. And God knows that. But if you're able to get up 30 minutes earlier than normal and just be quiet and pray and read the Word, seek God for 30 minutes. In the morning, it's a wonderful thing. If the morning doesn't work, sometimes work shifts and a lot of other things make it very difficult. God knows that. We just turn the TV off 30 minutes early before we go to bed. Spend time, right? The Lord will honor that. And if we trust Him this way, individually and together, He will revive us. And just maybe, He will use us to revive our nation as well. Lord willing, next time, more on that. And all God's breathless people said, in the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord. May we seek you early and late, Lord. May we seek you first. Do a great work in us, and that precious man or woman still without Christ, you're calling them with your reckless love to know you, Lord. Touch that man or woman even now, as we all need to say at one point, Father, have mercy on me, a sinner. Forgive my sins. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Make me new. The Lord God will be in your life in a heartbeat. We'd love to pray with you. In the name of God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.